He was a good man. He loved his wife. All in all, he lived a quiet and decent life. He helped his neighbor, he raised his kids, but trusting Jesus is one thing he never did. It's true the road to hell is paved with good intentions, for not by our good works are sin and death erased. It's by Jesus' blood alone we're forgiven and atoned. Through our faith we're saved by grace. Through our faith we're saved by grace. Yes, we should follow where Jesus trod, and make ourselves a living sacrifice to God. But still we stumble as mortal men. Praise Jesus' name, he paid the debt for every sin. We stand condemned under the law. When we break one, we're guilty of them all. Deserving death, we need no alibi. Pardoned by the blood of Christ. It's true the road to hell is paved with good intentions, for not by our good works are sin and death erased. It's by Jesus' blood alone we're forgiven and atoned. Through our faith we're saved by grace. Through our faith we're saved by grace.
Glory, glory. Thank you, Brother Green. And praise God, salvation's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about that for just a moment? You know, if salvation was dependent upon you, you'd never be able to keep it. And you know how I know that? Some of us can't even keep up with our keys. How are we going to keep up with salvation? Come on now. You know, we can't even keep up with our keys or our pocket knife. We can't even remember sometimes. I can't remember where my glasses are and on my head. Thank God that the security of salvation is in the hand of Jesus. And no man can pluck me out of his hand. Thank God. Hey, listen, it's not me holding on to him. It's him holding on to me. Thank God. Just thought I'd throw that in case you didn't know how salvation comes into the hearts and lives of people. Take your Bible, Daniel chapter 3. I want to go to one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. Daniel chapter number 3. Now, while you're turning there, don't stand just yet. I'll give you a quick background of where we are. The ruling power of this day was the kingdom of Babylon. The king of the kingdom of Babylon was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, a lot of things people believe about Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm not going to get into that today, but I do want to say that he was a very strong-willed, he was a very adamant king. He knew what he wanted, and he demanded what he wanted. Now, he was a very strong king, and he had gone in now and captured Jerusalem and drew many, many Israelites away into captivity. And this is the same group that you know that Daniel is in. And later on you'll find as the kingdom changed, that's where you have the story of Daniel in the den of lions. And but in this particular case, Nebuchadnezzar had built a golden image. And because he was very selfish and because he was very self-centered, he wanted everyone to bow down to this golden image. So he said, listen, when the music begins, everybody bows down to this golden image. And so the music began to play, and most everybody bowed down. I said most everybody. But there were some that still had convictions. There were some that still believed we do not bow to idols, and we worship the one and only true God, Jehovah God, Jehovah Jireh God. And so they didn't bow down. These three young men, their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, these men had already been placed in a place of position. And so King Nebuchadnezzar had them brought to him. He says, listen, guys, I know maybe y'all didn't understand, since y'all are from another place, maybe you didn't understand the terminology. I said, when the music starts, you bow down to my God. And that's where we are right now in our story. So I want you to look, if you would, let's stand together, Daniel 3 and verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast this same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what they said? We're not afraid to tell you what we believe. We're not afraid to tell you what's in our heart and what's in our mind and who we serve. He said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. That's what anger and hate does, folks. I said that's what anger and hate does. When it gets in somebody, they become vindictive and evil intent. And he commanded the most high, or the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, boys, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men, listen to me now, loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, listen to this now, his tune's changed. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Boy's tune is really changed now. Because there, listen to me, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now I want you to go back to verse number 29, and our message is found in the last statement. When Nebuchadnezzar said, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And I want to preach to you this morning about this sort of God. What we're talking about right here, folks, don't just happen on NBC, CBS, and ABC every day. We have this sort of God that can do the same today as He did in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you believe that? Then let's ask Him to bless our time. Father, would You bless now our service? Thank You for the privilege of being in church. Thank You for this wonderful story, a true story in the Bible. Lord, that we can get some education and learning from it and realize that the power of God still reigns today just as much as it did in the day of these three Hebrew servants. And Lord, would You show us Your might this morning, we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. You know, the Holy Spirit chose in this passage to use a very special word in our text to describe the miracle of deliverance of these three Hebrew servants that He allowed to be cast into a fiery furnace for not bowing to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. Now, the word the Holy Spirit used, if you'll notice in verse 29, was the word sort, which means manner. Matter of fact, remember in the New Testament, remember when Jesus calmed the waves and the sea, and remember His disciples said, what manner of man is this? You know what they were saying? What sort of God can calm the waves and the sea right here in our midst? That word sort means manner or the form of acting or the degree of quality. And Nebuchadnezzar said, there is no God that can deliver after this manner. There's no God that can deliver after this quality. You say, what do you mean quality, preacher? Did you notice that when they came out, the Scripture says that there wasn't even a hair of their head singed? The fire had no power upon them. Their clothes didn't even smell like they had been in the fire. You see, why did God do that? Because He's a God of this sort. He's this sort of God. He doesn't deliver halfway. He delivers all the way. May I say to you, when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't pay for part of your salvation. He paid for all of your salvation. This is this sort of God we're talking about here. Well, so from the lips of a heathen king comes this proclamation. No one speaks anything against this God. Now listen, prior to that, He was going to throw them in the fire because they believed in this God. Now when God says, you know what, I'm this sort of God, I can deliver, He delivers them, and now the king's tune is, listen, nobody speaks against this God. Nobody speaks out against the God of these Hebrews. He said, there is no other God like this God. You know what He was saying? He says, even my own gods can't even do this. They're powerless to do anything like this. Listen, you don't think this made an impact on Nebuchadnezzar? He hadn't seen his gods do anything like this. He hadn't seen his gods deliver in this manner. Why? Because he didn't have this sort of God. He was serving false idols. He said, my gods are powerless to do this. You see, what he said is that the God of the Hebrews and their kingdom is an everlasting kingdom according to Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 3. If you'll look at it, if you'll hold your place there. Nebuchadnezzar says right after this, he says, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Let me say something to you folks. Do you think this sort of God had an impact on a heathen king? You bet. Hey, when's the last time you've seen somebody walk out of a fire? By the way, did you notice that when they went into the fire, they went in bound, but they came out loosed from the fire? You see, God, when He does something, He's going to do it complete. He doesn't do anything halfway. He doesn't do anything marginally. He did it the whole way. Man, what brought Nebuchadnezzar to this conclusion was God's power. Listen now, superseded his words. Because he thought, nobody's able to deliver out of my hand. And God says, well, let's just test this right quick. So he allowed them to be thrown into the fire. And by the way, listen to me. Everybody look up here. Do you understand that sometimes God's going to allow you to be thrown in the fire? That he can prove himself to be this sort of God in your life? Why do we go in kicking and screaming and try to get out of the ropes? He says, I'm going to tie you up and put you in. He said, but just hang on. I'm going to loose you. But I'm going to loose you in such a manner that the whole world will know that what I've done is of God. You see, I serve this sort of God. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate? You see, Nebuchadnezzar had this attitude, nobody can deliver out of my hands. I have all power. Let me take you now to when Jesus was before Pilate in John chapter 19. Remember, Pilate looked Jesus in the face and he said this, "Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and the power to release thee?" And remember Jesus' response to Pilate, Jesus said, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." You know what he told Pilate? He said, "You ain't got no more power than Nebuchadnezzar had over that fire." He said, "You know, you had no power over me." Well, once Nebuchadnezzar witnessed with his own eyes that God was in total control and that his word meant nothing when it came to the power of God. Listen, his words, his wishes, his ways, even though he was a world ruler, he was number one. He was the number one world ruler. Nobody more powerful than he is. Everybody bowed down to him until he saw the God of the Hebrews show himself that he was this sword of God. He said, "There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. No other God that operates after this manner and with this degree of quality. Nobody," he said, "I've seen in my entire life have I seen that has done something like this." Now, with that said, I want to give you just a couple things to take home with you today, okay? About this sort of God. Can I say, first of all, that this sort of God gives boldness to believers to believe? I said this sort of God gives the boldness to believers to believe. You say, believe what, preacher? Well, did you notice in Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 15? Go back and look at it. He says, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Now, listen to me. You know what these guys were being? Threatened. They were being threatened. And may I say to you today, last time I checked my clock, we're in 2011. You know what Christians are still being? Threatened. I will see if your God in 2011 can do what he said he can do in the Bible. You see, the thing about it is the only thing that God, that's holding God back from doing great things today is believers who will not believe. You see, what we've got to do is we've got to embrace the faith, embrace the grace, and embrace our belief that God can still do great things. But listen, they were threatened. He said, "Listen, you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to throw you in the fire." Well, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." They said, "Listen, sir, out of due respect, we're not afraid to tell you what we believe. We're not afraid to tell you what we think." And so they said, listen now, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Everybody okay with that right there if I say that these guys had kind of some kind of faith? These guys believed God. And can I tell you, this sort of God we're talking about, where did they get that faith from? Where did they get that ability to believe that God was going to deliver them? I'll tell you where they got it from. They got it from God Almighty. And he gave them the boldness to believe his word. You know what I think? I think, you know what? God didn't bring us all this way to burn us up. Listen, folks, let's not get the children of Israel's mentality that God delivered you from bondage to bring you out in the wilderness so that you can die. Where does that mentality among God's people come from? Didn't come from God. Didn't come from His Word. Hey, folks, it comes from a lack of faith. It comes from a lack of believing that we serve this sort of God. It's this sort. Now, God gives boldness to believers to believe. He gives us believers the ability and the strength to believe in the face of threats and condemnation. Folks, listen to me. I'm 50 years old, but I'm going to stand behind this pulpit right here, and I'm going to preach the words of Almighty God. I'm not going to preach something I don't believe. This is what I believe. And you know what? You say, well, you know what? One of these days, you may get your wish, and I may. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to pray, God, give me the boldness to stand in that day and say, you know what, O King? You may want everybody else to bow down, but you see this old boy right here? I'm not bowing down. I'm not going to bow down. And He gives boldness to believers to believe in the face of threats and condemnation. He gives believers the ability and strength to believe in the face, listen now, of intimidation. Tell you one thing, there's nothing that burns me up more than to see people use the power of intimidation over weaker people. That burns me up, man. To take their position and use their position in a place of authority to intimidate people to get them to do what they want them to do. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He was trying to use his position to intimidate somebody to do something they weren't going to do. Stand up in the face of intimidation. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter what their title is. If they're trying to get you to go against the Word of God and get you to bow down to something that's not scriptural, stand up. Stand up and answer. Hey, listen, this was the most powerful guy on planet Earth at this time. Here's three guys which most people would deem insignificant. They said, you know what? We're careful to answer thee. We'll tell you what we believe. Hey, they stood up in the face of intimidation. May I say, they stood up in the face of condemnation, and they stood up in the face of manipulation. Not only did he try to condemn them and intimidate them, then he tried to manipulate them. He tried to manipulate them into doing this. By the way, I'm sure he said, now remember your position in the kingdom now, because if you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to take all that away. Oh, and by the way, if I have to throw you in there, what are your wives going to think? What are your kids going to think? I'm sure he probably used a little manipulation there to try to get them to bow down. Now, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to strap your seatbelt on for just a minute, okay? You okay with me? All right, hang on. Today, we're being told to bow down as well. I'm telling you, today, we're being told by others to bow down. They said, you believers, you will bow down. And you know what they're telling us to bow down to? You're going to have to bow down to the ways of today of 2011. And you know how many times I've heard this? Well, preacher, you've got to understand, that's just the way it is today. Well, you know something? Can I say this? It may be the way it is, but I don't have to accept it. Preacher, you don't understand, that's just the way I am. Well, you can be that way, but I don't have to accept it. And neither does God have to accept it. Hey, do you know there's going to be people that are going to stand before God one day, the throne, and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many works in thy name? You know what he's going to tell them? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You see, the thing about it is we think that whatever we do, that God's just going to accept whatever we do because he loves us. Well, let me tell you something. Most of you growing up, your parents loved you, but they didn't accept everything you did. How? They didn't accept everything you did. No, there was discipline. Hey, listen, they're telling us today, bow down to the ways of 2011. That's just the way it is. They're trying to get us believers to bow down to the ecumenical movement of our day to form a one world religion. Ain't doing it. Pardon my Mississippi vernacular, but I ain't. You say, why won't you join in with all the other folks, preacher? Because Amos 3:3 is in the Bible. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. So they're trying to get us to bow down, and they're trying to get us, listen, preacher, don't you know that everybody believes in God and everybody's going to heaven? We're just all going different ways. Well, folks, I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, didn't say we're all going different ways. Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. They're trying to get us to accept a perverted copy of what is called the so-called Word of God. Bow down to the Bible of the 2011s. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to take our King James and throw it under the bus. And you know what? I ain't doing it. I ain't buying it. Not going to do it. Listen, if for no other reason, you know why I'd hold on to the King James? Just because of the history behind it. If nothing else. Say, well, you ain't got no proof. Well, I tell you one thing I got proof of. I've got the proof of history that God's used this book over the course of time. So if nothing else, I'll just stick with it because of the historical. I'll just stick with it because God has used it. And I'm not going to bow down. You mean to tell me that you go to the bookstore and there's 200 and something different so-called words of God? You think God's in that? Come on now, talk to me. You know, you think God's is the author of confusion? You think He's trying to say, well, listen, here's 200 different copies of it. Go fish it out. Find out. Listen, I ain't smart enough to do that. But you know what I am smart enough to do? I am smart enough to find one that God's used over time and use that one. Amen. I told you to buckle up your seatbelt here. We're going somewhere, right? I'm just telling you, they're trying to get us to bow down, brother, to the golden idol. You know what we're going to do? We're going to stand up. Can't do it. They said, well, you know what? We'll just make you get a license. Try it. Well, if you don't get one, you're going to jail. Here we go. Hey, let me say so. You say, preacher, you're talking mighty smart up there. What if that day comes? I believe in my heart, I will say, let's go. Because I'm not bowing down. Now, they're going to try to get us to bow down and be tolerant of open perverted sins and lifestyles that are anti-Bible and anti-Christ. I ain't doing it. Not going to do it. Hey, folks, listen, there are still guidelines of morality in the Bible. And God still holds us to that line of morality in the Bible. I'm just saying to you that even today, and listen, I could go on and on, but I got to move on because, listen, even today, they're saying, listen, when the music plays, bow down. Bow down to these. And you know what? Unfortunately, you know what way too many of God's people are doing? Okay. Okay. Whatever. What do you want me to bow down to now? Bow down to this perverted sin. Okay. Now, folks, listen. I don't know about you, but the Holy Ghost that lives in me won't let me do that. It won't let me. And I'm just telling you. The day's coming, friend. The day's coming to when you may come to on Sunday and my wife shows up and says, well, guess one of you deacons going to have to preach? Where's your husband? Oh, he got picked up last night. He's in jail. What for? He's out there preaching to those people going to the Cowboys game. They didn't like it. So he's down there in jail. Are you going to bail him out? No, he told me not to. He's going to sit it out. You say, why? I guess he wants to prove a point. Amen. Now, folks, let me say something to you. Listen to me, and I'm not trying to be unkind. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I'm not trying to be unkind to anybody, but you listen to me. There's some in this building today, the music's going to begin to play, the idol's going up, and some of you will bow. You will. Because you don't want any confrontation, and you don't want anybody to know that you are intolerant. Well, let me say something to you. Do you know there's some things that God didn't tolerate in the Bible? Now, I'm just here to tell you that these three Hebrew servants believed God was able to deliver them and that there wasn't a fiery furnace going to matter one bit. Didn't matter whether it was a fiery furnace. Hey, listen to me, folks. You think a Red Sea could stop him from parting it? Hey, did a rock say when he called water out of a rock, did the rock say, I'm sorry, I can't give it up? It gave it up. A rock wasn't going to stop him. Hey, you think the walls of Jericho weren't going to fall when God said they would fall? Yeah, absolutely they did. And may I remind you today, do you think a grave is going to hold somebody if Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth? That's not going to hold him. You know why? The sword of God. Did you know when God speaks, people need to listen? I almost said people listen, but some don't. But you need to. And all I'm saying to you today, folks, is God gives boldness. This sword of God gives boldness to believers to believe. And by the way, can I say that it wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that experienced this? Did you know Joseph believed and was elevated to second in the kingdom of Egypt? Moses believed and led the Jews out of Egypt. Daniel believed and was spared from the mouths of lions. Mary and Martha believed and saw their brother Lazarus raised from the dead. All because this sort of God. Here's the second thing real quick. God will not only give believers the boldness to believe, but He will deliver believers that believe. He will deliver believers that believe. May I remind you, if you look back in Daniel 3 and verse number 17, they said, if it be so, our God, whom we will serve, is able to deliver us. Stop. Everybody agree with that? God able? Absolutely. Hey, listen, He put the stars in space, in place. He created everything you see, so you think a fire furnace is going to hinder Him from doing a miracle? Not at all. They said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand. Now, what? Stop there just a second. Let me say this. Boy, they were kind of cocky, weren't they? They said, He will deliver us. He will. And I'm here to tell you that this sort of God will deliver believers that believe. Now, let me say this about that. These three Hebrews were going to be delivered one way or the other. Am I right? I said they're going to be delivered one way or the other. So you know what they could say? Our God will deliver us out of their hand. It's either going to be He's going to save us out of the fiery furnace or He's going to burn us up. But one way or the other, bye-bye, because we're out of your hands. And He will deliver us. Now look what else they said. Verse 18, you need to circle this and highlight this in your Bible. Because they had come to the conclusion, but if not. And may I say to you today, folks, you see this preacher right here? He may get arrested one day for preaching the truth. And listen to me, God may not let me out. You hear me? He may not let me out. But I'm here to tell you, if He don't, I'm still preaching. You say, you get beat up inside there. Well, I guess that's the way it's going to be. You see, either God was going to perform a miracle and they would live, or God would deliver them by death into the portals of paradise. But you know what? They would be delivered one way or the other. No circumstances were too great. No obstacles too high. No problem too complex. No person too big that God couldn't overcome. You see, that's the least we could do today in 2011, since many of our spiritual forefathers gave their life so that we could have church like we're having today. Listen to me, folks. So that we could have this Word of God in our hand. You hear me? Go back. Just check me out. Okay, don't take my word. Go check me out. I want you to go find out for why many of the martyrs of hundreds of years ago, of the 14s, 15s, and 1600s, why and what they died for. Okay? They didn't die for their house. They didn't die for an education. They died for the Word. And they would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what the religious crowd of their day said? You'll either bow down to us or we'll put you on the stake and burn you at the stake. They said, okay, I guess that's the way it's going to be. And listen to me, folks. You ought to go read about some of these that gave their lives and were persecuted beyond what you can absolutely imagine. And why they did it? They did it because they refused to bow down. And you know what? Because they served this sort of God. They knew that their God would deliver them. And I want you to notice that these three Hebrews said, but if not, This was not a faltering of their faith. This was rather a submission to whatever way God wanted to deliver them. Whatever way you want to deliver me, by miracle or by death, He will deliver me and us out of your hands. Well, I said this sort of God gives believers the boldness to believe. I said this sort of God will deliver believers that believe. That's the reason, folks, I want to stay as right with God as I possibly can. Because you know what? My fiery furnace is coming one day. And you know what I want? I want to be delivered. But if not, I'm still not bowing down. At least if I do go, will some of you come visit me? Okay. All right, now I feel better about the whole thing now. Let me give you one last thing. Here it is. He, this sort of God, will save anyone who will believe. He will save anyone who will believe. The three Hebrew servants didn't have some kind of secret formula that they used to protect them and save them from the fire. All they did was believe. They just simply believed God. Folks, there is no secret formula today that exists that can save us from the fires of hell. What saves us is simple faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's just simply believing. What must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer said in Acts chapter 16. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He proved He was the Son of God. And now He sits now at the right hand of the Father, once again, proving that He's the Son of God. Just believe that He is the Son of God, God in flesh. Believe that Jesus will forgive any sins. Do you know He's willing to forgive all sins, past, present, and future? Folks, listen to me. You know how I know that? Because when the three Hebrews went in, they went in bound, and they came out loosed, hair not singed, no smell of smoke on their clothes, fire had no power. Listen to me now. And they came out walking. They went in bound, they came out walking. You know what? God can loose you from anything. If He can loose the maniac of Gadara from a legion of devils, He can loose you from whatever sin that has you bound. I'm telling you, He can loose you today from it. He can set you free. He can, listen, He can unbound the cords off of your life, and you too can come forth walking in the midst of the fire and out of the fire. He's willing to save anyone that will believe. He's willing to forgive any sin. Hey, just believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ was the payment for your sin debt. There is no other. Nobody else paid for your debt except the Lord. And it took the shed blood of Jesus. Remember in Egypt when the angel of death, which was basically God, had sent, God passed over that place and death came upon every household that did not have the blood applied. And may I say to you today, if you're without Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ has not been applied to the doorpost of your soul, death will find you, and you likewise will perish without hope and without God forever. But I'm here to tell you, I serve this sort of God that can deliver you. Believe that once you're delivered and saved, you're saved forever. Hey, folks, don't live in fear. Don't live afraid of whether you're saved or not. Believe that God's Word is true and that He's going to keep it to the uttermost. Well, this is the sort of God I serve and worship. A God who is not fazed nor falters in the face of human impossibilities. You see, the fiery furnace was no challenge for God. A den of lions in Daniel's day was no challenge for God. Hey, a regurgitation of Jonah from a whale's belly was no challenge for God. A tempestuous sea was no challenge for God. So let me ask you this in conclusion. So do we think that our sins are too bad for God to forgive? Is our life so out of control that God cannot restore? And is our heart so hard that God cannot soften? The answer to those is no. He is able to deliver. And you listen, and He can deliver you if you'll believe that the power of God is available for you just like it was for these three Hebrews. I'm just here to tell you this morning, before we bow and pray, I serve this sort of God. That when you leave those doors and you walk to your car today, you know what? You can walk out loosed and free if you'll come and embrace the Word of God. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. I'm a born-again Christian. I can remember my salvation experience, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I am happy and I'm testifying that I'm a born-again believer, no question about it. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. The Father, you have seen the testimony by the raising of hands of the people of God. And you have seen that glorious testimony, and Lord, I believe it makes you happy. I believe it makes you proud of your people that are not ashamed of the Word of God and the gospel of Christ and of their salvation. But Father, there were some here today that could not raise their hands. I want them so desperately to leave this place today knowing Jesus as Savior. I want them so desperately today, Lord, to come and experience this sort of salvation, this sort of power, this sort of God this morning. And they can leave this place loosed and free from the bondage of their sin. Because there's a God in heaven that sits on the apex of all time, and all the world is His footstool. And there, Lord, everything is under His control. And so I pray that if there's one today, or two, or three that do not know Christ, that today would be that day that they're loosed and free in Jesus. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, there were two or three that couldn't raise their hand this morning. Out of that two or three that I saw that couldn't raise your hand, how many of you would raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I do not know for sure that heaven is my home. I want to be saved, preacher. I want to go to heaven. I want to be loosed. I do with all my heart, but I cannot honestly say for sure that I know Jesus today. And you'd let me pray for you. Nobody's looking but me. I want you to slip your hand up. Just slip it up real high and say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I could not raise my hand a while ago. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Say, I don't know for sure that I've been born into the family of God, but I want to be, preacher. Pray for me. Who'll join this one? Say, I don't know for sure that I've been born into the family of God. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else? Just slip it up beside just one. Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray that I take care of that bit of business in my Christian life? Let me pray for you about that. Nobody's looking at me. Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized after I got born in the family of God. You say, pray for me. Anybody like that? Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. Who joined these two that raised their hand and said, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Anybody else? All right, then one last thing. How many of you today would say, preacher, there's something in my life that has bound me, and I need to be loosed from that. And I know now that I serve this sort of God that's willing to loose me from whatever that sin or whatever that is that you're in bondage to. You say, preacher, would you pray for me today, please, that I'll be loosed from this situation that I'm in. I want you to slip your hand way up high. I said, it's me. I believe today. I believe. I'm in bondage with something, and you pray that God would loose me from it. Just slip your hand way up high. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, my prayer this morning on behalf of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, Father, hear our voice. Hear the prayer of this preacher today. Save those, Lord God, that raised their hands and said they needed to come to Christ. Please do not let them leave today. Lord, you've got this sort of salvation waiting for them this morning. And I pray, Father, for those that need to be baptized, that they would come and obey you this morning. And just do what's right and let you work in their life in an incredible way. And then, Lord, those that raised their hand and said, Lord, they were in bondage to maybe a certain sin, or maybe it's something in their life, a situation. And Lord, today they want to be loosed in Jesus' name. They want to walk out of this door this morning and be free indeed as they walk the Christian walk. Free them, I pray. I pray, Lord, in just a moment they would come and pour their heart out to you and receive your grace and believe today that you will deliver. And we commend the invitation into your hands. Have thine own way, I pray. in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand together. I'm going to ask the musicians to begin to play. I'm going to ask our brother Shaddix to begin to sing. Listen, if you raised your hand, you come. Why come to church and go away still bound today? Some of you need the Lord. This is your opportunity. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Some of you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I need to be baptized." Listen, this is your opportunity to come. Hey, we take a stand for everything else. How about taking a stand for Jesus today? Many of you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I'm bound today with something in my life." Listen, come today. We'll pray with you. We'll have someone pray with you about that. That God would free you and you can walk away loose this morning. You've been under the power and the influence of the devil too long. How about come this morning and give God your life?